Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Oh. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Chris McMichael.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan 102 on a Monday morning. We're already back. The weekend is over. It goes by so quickly. Sorry there. I didn't sing in the opening because I accidentally shut down the computer here and I panicked for half a second that I wouldn't have the calls. But here we are taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side. He's back from all his time in the mornings, but just for briefly. Again, we got you till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. on this Monday morning off of two very important wins. Obviously, the New York Yankees and the New York Mets desperate for victories coming out of the All-Star break. I got a chance to speak to you on Saturday talking about the ugly Friday for both of these teams, right? They come out, the Yankees, you get the news, it's an opener. The Mets blow a lead with some questionable bullpen decisions from Mendoza early in the game, and then he lets it get out of control. And two ugly losses to start where you felt like there wasn't urgency with the teams. There wasn't this idea that this second half was going to be so critical for both teams. A Met team heading into the second half, a half a game back of Philadelphia. A Yankee team, two games back of Toronto. Both teams blowing five-game leads inside the division down the stretch of the season. You get the All-Star break, you come out, and you expect both teams to recognize how important it is going forward, how important the second half is. The Yankees have Toronto coming up now, and we'll get into at 888-808-1019 how important this three-game set against Toronto is. But you come out of the break, and you get the miserable effort from both teams on Friday night. And then you turn to Saturday, and I had a chance to really do a lot on David Wright. We'll get to the David Wright stuff if you like at 888-808-1019. Incredible honoring of David Wright, and it does hit different for a homegrown player. We did a lot of that on Saturday. We'll do more of it today. But the game follows for the Mets the same way. The Yankees play another sloppy baseball game, and really that's a story about not only lack of urgency, right, and the way the game was handled by the Yankee front office and staff and how they handled the starting pitching, but the Mets as well. And it wasn't just bullpen decisions. The top of the order not hitting. We got to get into Lindor and how terrible he's been over this stretch. But the sloppy play. You obviously Friday night get Vivas getting thrown out at third base. Not covering first base from Warren. Not having anyone cover second base on a ball hit into the gap in the outfield for the New York Yankees. The Mets have similar issues. You got Torrens just throwing the ball away down the line, trying to pick him off at first base. It scores a run, sets up their second to tie the game at that point. Mauricio not turning a double play. Pete Alonso, who you find out later, has got some finger issues, but lollipops to throw to home. Like, two ugly, you know, really bad starts to this second half. And thankfully, at least for the New York Yankees, who we'll focus on here for a second, rally and score a ton of runs and rally back and have one of the best wins of the year on Saturday, scoring 12 runs, the grand slam from Grisham, coming back from down 5 runs 2 separate times in a huge win for the New York Yankees. A huge win for the New York Yankees. And as sloppy as it was, and as poor as some of the pitching was up until that point, it felt like at least for the New York Yankees, and you found it on Sunday for the New York Mets, but that the fifth inning when they start to score some runs and they continue to pound, continue to plug away, continue to come at the Braves the rest of the game, it felt like there was a switch. And from that moment on, the Yankees played much better, even with all the crap that went through it. Come out the other side, and then yesterday was so important, really, for both teams. The Mets, who had an opportunity to at least keep track with the Phillies as they were losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels. And the New York Yankees going up against the Toronto Blue Jays, who don't lose, and swept the San Francisco Giants. Coming into this Sunday, the Mets, who, let's be honest, the Reds and everybody else is chasing the Mets. And I was listening to Evans, Rico Bronya a little bit, he was doing the numbers. The last 70 games for the New York Mets, the last, 75 games rather, the New York Mets are 500. For the last 75 games, the New York Mets have been a 500 baseball team. And you've got everybody chasing them. The Reds are playing well. They've been hot as of late. Obviously, Milwaukee now sweeping the Dodgers. The rest of the NL is catching up to the New York Mets. And to get swept coming out of the gate to the Cincinnati Reds on David Wright weekend to start what needs to be a huge second half for both these teams, that would have been a disaster for the New York Mets. And instead, you get Peterson, your most reliable starting pitcher, and someone who can actually go deep into the games, start out of the gate with the first three batters of the game, 1-0, and then able to settle in, able to get out of that jam, another jam, double plays, do what he's consistently done now for the last year plus. Settle in, give them enough, give this offense that is still struggling enough of an opportunity to get back and, score some runs. Obviously, we talk about the top of the order in Lindor and what he's been doing right now. When's the last time Lindor came through with a big hit? Consistently struggling now. And you could look directly at the New York Mets and how the top of the order does. I know we've talked about the bottom of the order and they need to improve, and we're going to do more on the deadline here as we move forward, because I got some strong opinions on what both teams should do at the deadline. But you could look directly at how the Fab Four, or whatever you want to call it, at the top of the order, how they do and how the Mets go. And yes, the bottom of the order has been a problem. In this series, the last couple games have been better. Torrens has gotten on base. Beatty's gotten on base. The top of the order, from Lindor to even Soto, who hits the home run to start the second half and really doesn't do all that much. And although his numbers are very good this year and well-deserving of being an all-star, we continue to see the lack of big hits. He hits the foul home run, obviously, in the David Wright game that would have obviously been a huge moment for him. It's just foul. He doesn't come through. We are not getting enough from him. Lindor's been awful. Alonso has been cold, dealing with a hand injury now. And you could directly look at what this offense does at the top and how they handle the and how that impacts winning for this team. They are desperate for some offense, and especially big hits with runners in scoring position. And if they don't get it from the top, they typically don't get it. And you can point directly to that and how the Mets go. But this game yesterday, and Peterson able to settle in and get them through 6, and even though Diaz comes in the 9th.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In the eighth, with two outs to try and get a four-out save, is unable to do it. The Mets rally and score a run with the leadoff walk from Soto. They come through. Excellent base running, and they find a way to win a game that they desperately needed to stay at least a half a game back of Philadelphia. And that was a huge win for the New York Mets. And then you look at the Yankees and what Stroman was able to give them. Think about where the Yankees were, down 5-0 to the Atlanta Braves on Saturday, playing a miserable game again with more defensive miscues, more issues, more sloppy play, bad base running on Friday, the bullpen in disarray after having to throw a bullpen game to start, and we'll get into whether or not that was a good move or not, if you'd like, at 888-808-1019. We did some of it on Saturday. But they come out of the gate with a bullpen game. Hamilton gets lit up and gives up three runs to the first four batters of the game. They make base running mistakes. They come out in Saturday. They fall down 5-0. Albies hits another three-run home run. They don't cover first base. They have no one at second base. It looks like they're about to come out of this second half with an absolute embarrassing performance against one of the biggest underachievers in baseball this season, the Atlanta Braves. And then the offense woke up. They absolutely pound the baseball. You get big hit after big hit. You get the grand slam from Grisham. You get the moment where the one or two relievers you actually trust on this team in Weaver comes through with an enormous performance with bases loaded and one out in the eighth inning. You win a huge game on Saturday, a huge come-from-behind win, a gritty, tough win, and this offense has now shown, after not showing it for almost the entire first half of the season, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have shown consistent ability to come back from big-time deficits as an offense, whether it's the game against the Mariners, they're down 5-0 getting no hit, or obviously this game, or even the Toronto game where they were down big, they ultimately lose it, but come back and tie the game at 9-9. Like, this offense has now shown the ability to consistently come back. That was a huge win in that series, knowing the bullpen's a little bit down, and there's about two arms you trust in the entire bullpen. And then you come into Saturday with Marcus Stroman, and let's start Sunday with Marcus Stroman, and let's start there. How good? And let's just be fair. I don't know if I trust him. I don't know if I want him making playoff starts. I don't know how I feel about Marcus Stroman. But since he's come off the IL, this dude's been nails. He has been excellent for the New York Yankees. And yesterday's performance, when they need innings, the guy hasn't gone above five innings in how long? He goes out there and gives them six innings of one-run baseball against the Atlanta Braves. They jump out early with a Judge home run. And they're able to go out there and take a series after looking like, again, and I was tweeting it out because this is where, you know, I'll push back a little bit. We talk about no urgency, and I even admitted on some level that the organization as a whole, like, we talked about it on Saturday. I don't know what you'd like them to do. I don't like the idea of a bullpen game. I don't like the idea of Hamilton starting the second half, but I don't like the idea of Cookie Carrasco starting it either, or Winans starting it either. I'm not sure what options they had on Friday night that would have made us feel comfortable about how they started the opening game of this second half. But it was sloppy baseball. It was more of the same. We saw then the start of Saturday, and then to flip the switch and then give you the performance you get with the starting pitcher and Marcus Stroman on Sunday to try and keep up with the Toronto Blue Jays, who just swept the San Francisco Giants at home and have now won 10 consecutive games in Toronto at home as the Yankees head there for the biggest three games of the season so far. To get this win, whether it's, and I'm watching it now, as other teams make mistakes too, as Profar with first and second against Marcus Stroman pops a bunt up to Vivas at third base. You also saw Olsen make an error at first base and be unable to turn a play there that kind of helped the Yankees score some runs. Other teams make mistakes too, believe it or not. But this sloppy Yankee team, with no urgency, found a way to find some urgency suddenly over the last two games of the series, win an exciting come-from-behind win on Saturday, and then translated into a huge win on Sunday to take the series, feel a hell of a lot better. You have the pitching staff lined up for the next three games. You'll have Rodon to start tonight, and right there, that is a conversation right here. We talk about Carlos Rodon. We just talked about Marcus Stroman and how great he has been for the New York Yankees. Really, since coming off the injury, how good has Marcus Stroman been? But tonight, this series, you put the Braves series behind you, huge series win, needed to follow up that impressive comeback on Saturday with a victory on Sunday. You get that, you win a series against a bad team in the Atlanta Braves. You take two of three to start, you feel better about it, you won't have to throw any more bullpens, and you start tonight down three games, as even with taking the series, you lose another game in the standings to the Toronto Blue Jays, who swept the Giants, and you go into tonight, and Carlos Rodon on the mound. The all-star Carlos Rodon, who has had one of the best, you know, maybe seasons of his career. He had two really good ones, one with the White Sox and one with the Giants, but by far his best season as a Yankee. We have seen a lot of the stuff that has hampered him in the past be much better this year. We have not seen the game spiral out of control with an error made behind him, or a pitch called a ball that he didn't that was in the zone, or, you know, a blue pit, or a broken bat single, or all the things that have usually helped him spiral games out of control and turn a one-run inning into a five-run inning. We have seen him eliminate a lot of those ills that we have seen previously from Carlos Rodon. But the one thing that still is there, the one thing we still question, is him in the biggest games. We've seen him spiral games out of control on not meaningful games, just regular games. Games coming off win streaks, games against lesser opponents. That has seemed to have been settled a little bit. But we still have not seen some of the biggest games this year against Toronto in that four-game sweep. Terrible. Against the New York Mets on a four-game losing streak, on a five-game losing streak, rather. Terrible. Some of the biggest games this year, he has not shown up for. There is no doubt. Tonight is the biggest game of the Yankee season so far. There is no doubt. Tonight is the biggest game for Carlos Rodon all season long. This is one of those games that the New York Yankees, coming off a series win, has got to play a clean, crisp game. They have been yet to been able, even in the win, I'll admit it. How could you not? They played a sloppy baseball game. They played two sloppy baseball games. Managed to win one of them. I thought Vivas should have been pulled from the game. We'll get to the comments. I saw Fliegelman even tweet about something the manager said. And I'll get on Boone. He made a comment on Friday, we'll get to it a little bit later, that is absolutely asinine and he's full of crap about pulling Vivas from the game. But tonight is a huge game for the New York Yankees. Tonight is a game the offense needs to show up, and tonight is a game Carlos Rodon needs to show up. And the best version of the New York Yankees needs to go into Toronto, who I may call frauds, and that's fine. I'll still call them frauds. We'll see what happens. But they have been one of the best teams in the American League. They just swept the San Francisco Giants. They've won 10 straight games in that building, including four against the New York Yankees. They lost a game in the standings in the three games series victory over the Atlanta Braves. And to come out tonight, this is now the biggest series that the New York Yankees have played all year. This is a series where if it doesn't go their way, could define this division. Aaron Boone did talk about it. The idea of how they play, in, to me, the most troubling thing. And we talk about the sloppy play. And we talk about the June swoons. And we talk about base running. And we talk about defense and outfield defense and covering the bags and everything that we talk about of a consistent kind of year-in, year-out issue for the New York Yankees. None is more troubling than the record inside the American League East. They are currently 10-16. In 26 games played inside the American League East this year. That is unacceptable. It is very, very difficult. They managed to do it last year because they were far and away the best team in the division. Even playing poorly against Baltimore, even playing poorly against the Red Sox, they found a way to win the division. It is very difficult to be six games under 500 in your division and win it. It's also telling that the teams that know them best perform best against them. That is a troubling issue that the New York Yankees have consistently had over the last three, four, 5 years. That has to end tonight. They don't have to go sweep. You don't have to go tie the division all in one series. But you have to make a statement that you can go into Toronto and win. You have to make a statement that even while they're hot, and the Yankees off of two games, I wouldn't call them hot necessarily. They lost the Cubs series heading into the All-Star break. They played a terrible game coming out of the All-Star break. But even when they're going great, 10 straight games in their building, built a division lead up to three, one of the hottest teams in the American League. The Yankees have to go in there. They've lined it up. They gave us a BS bullpen game so they could have it just like this with Rodon, Schlittler, and Fried. This is the biggest series the Yankees have played all year. It's one of the biggest series in the regular season they've played in a while. And tonight is a night you look at Carlos Rodon off of what you got from Marcus Stroman, off of what you got from this offense on Saturday. You have to make it stick. And Carlos Rodon has to go out there and give us at least a little bit of a feeling like he can show up in the big games, that you can trust him ever so slightly. It won't cure all the ills. It won't make me feel like, bingo, here we go. Rodon in the postseason, no worries. But I need to see it once this year. And as great as he's been, and he has been great, we are yet to see that big-time performance in the biggest moments. This is a huge game, and it's a huge game for Carlos Rodon. 888-808-1019. So both teams with huge wins. We'll obviously talk about Saturday's offensive explosion for the Yankees. We will talk about Saturday and David Wright Day. We'll talk about the ills for both of these teams that still rear their ugly heads. And let's be honest, I know we look to focus on the Yankee sloppy play, and rightfully so. It's been going on a hell of a lot longer than the Mets sloppy play. But make no mistake, there has been some sloppy play from the New York Mets over this stretch where they have not been that good. And we saw more of it over this weekend. Both teams need to button it up. Both teams have issues. And then we will spend a lot of time on the trade deadline. And I will tell you right now, there is a name, probably the biggest name out there, come the trade deadline, that I honestly don't think.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart. So that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart. We're here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The New York Yankees should trade for.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 128. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I don't know what happened, but there is whiteout all over this desk. There's whiteout all over the desk. I accidentally, with my fat fingers, turned off the caller screen right as the open was happening. I got a New York Met World Series ring sitting in front of me. What's going on here? Right. Did they give this out? Did they give anything out at the game? I'm sure you were there on Saturday, Fleeks. Got a World Series. It looks like a Met. National League champs right on the side. Number 5. 2015 NLCS. I don't know where I got that ring. Just sitting here. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, yeah, an important Sunday for both teams. Ultimately, the Mets do lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati Reds. I didn't like Mendoza's managing of the bullpen on Friday night, and not so much once he fell behind to go to Waddell. And obviously, you know, once you fall behind, you're not going to use your high leverage guys, but still, they had the lead in the fifth. It just felt like, again, not a punt, because I hate punt with the Yankees too. And again, I don't think the Yankees really had much of a better option. You absolutely could have pulled a kid from the minor leagues. Or you could have put Winans, who ends up joining the roster as the long man. You could have started Cookie Carrasco. But I don't know. That, none of that would have made me feel any better. And I talked a lot about this on Saturday with the base running issue and with Vivas. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. I would have pulled him from the game. And that was the comment I talked about. Boone, in the post game, Chris Kirschner tweeted it out. I didn't see it on the version that aired on the YES Network. But he tweeted out that Boone said, I only pull guys out for not running hard. I don't pull guys out for mistakes. There's two asinine things in one statement there. And here's for all you people who think I'm just the Boone, you know, sycophant. He's full of crap. Like, the first thing that jumps out at me, no, you don't. You don't pull anyone for anything. And I've backed you up sometimes for not doing it or, you know, but don't lie and say you only pull. You pulled Glaber once. I can't remember another time. I can't remember another time in the entire, now going on 8 full seasons with Aaron Boone as the manager of the New York Yankees, I can't think of one other time besides the 150th time Gleyber Torres didn't hustle or made a mental mistake on the field. I can't think of another pull in the entire time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's out there. He pulled Gleyber Torres once after his 100th mistake. The idea you ever pull anyone is ridiculous. Just tell us you don't like to take guys out of the game. I'd rather just add, because we know you don't. And then to say only when they don't, you know, hustle or run hard, that's exactly what that play was. Like, Tim, everyone was like, oh, bad fundamentals. I don't know. The dude read the play exactly right. He tagged up exactly right. He started to run hard and then got fooled despite his third base coach. And again, we could blame Boone for the atmosphere he creates and everything. The dude doesn't run hard. He gets fooled by the third baseman, and he's ignoring the third base coach telling him to get down. They can't go out there and run for him. Same thing with Warren not covering first base. That's a ground ball hit to what he assumed was going to be second base because it was so far up the mid, you know, towards second base that he never expected Goldschmidt to be that far over and make that play. And quite honestly, I don't want to blame Goldschmidt because you go get the ball if you can, and it's up to Warren to cover first. But I thought he went too far. Let that just go to second base, go to first base, and make the easy play. But Warren, exhausted after 40 pitches, had a mental miscue and just assumed, and you know what happens when you assume, that he wasn't going to have to cover first base. I know for a fact they work on PFP. I know for a fact he's been coached to cover first base, or at least go attempt to, on every ball hit to his left on the ground. These are things that I know for a fact the New York Yankees have gone over. But I'll tell you I'll be totally honest with you. I have never called for a player to be taken off the field. I really don't go crazy about it. I would have taken Vivas' ass right off the field for that one on Friday night. And not because it's unacceptable for him, but it is. Right? It's not just because it's an unacceptable play. I thought it was an opportunity 3 innings into the second half for Aaron Boone to say, enough of this crap. Enough. This is the second half. This is where we make our push to win this division again. This is where we make the push to become the team we were for the first 60 games of the season. Enough of this bullcrap, mistakes on the base paths. I thought that was an opportunity for him to make a statement to the team that this ends now. And he didn't. And it was followed up by more sloppy play in the second game as well. So I'm not telling you the Yankees aren't sloppy. And let's be honest, Met fans, the Mets are sloppy right now. And quite honestly, I was in Philadelphia. I went to the game Saturday night in Philly with my kids. We're trying to see all the ballparks. For Father's Day, they got me this big map with all the ballparks, and we're trying to go to all of them. We're so busy. I'm going to Italy. We got a million things going on every weekend. I got my block party. I got this birthday party. I got this. Like, we just have no time. So this was like the only free weekend. So we decided to go to Philadelphia. In the first inning, the Phillies have second and third and nobody out. Bryce Harper hits a ground ball to first base. And they have Harper on second with 2 outs. That was the outcome. After the leadoff hitter, I forget who's hitting leadoff. It wasn't who's hitting Turner now. Turner on third, Schwarber on second. And Turner is really, I mean, how the hell, they throw to third base, then they get Schwarber hung up, they get Schwarber tagged out, and somehow Turner is still standing there in the middle of the base path. Like, this is an epidemic of baseball, not just the Yankees and Mets, but we don't care about any other team. And rightfully so. But my goodness, both of these teams extremely sloppy over these 2 days. The Yankees offense, thankfully enough, the Yankees offense and Marcus Stroman, thankfully enough, were enough for them to win the series heading in, and they needed to. They could not have gone into this. They need to at least have the opportunity of sweeping the Blue Jays and tying for first place. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not even saying the Yankees need to do that. They need to take 2 of 3 and pick up a game. Bare minimum. They have to go take 2 of 3. You don't have to go sweep. Be nice, but you don't have to go do it. But just the mental element of losing that first series to an underachieving, 10 games under 500 Brave team that is considering selling off all their pieces. To lose that series and head into the series without the possibility of, no matter how good it goes, being in first place, I just had to win yesterday. And Marcus Stroman was terrific. I mean, he's blowing high fastballs past Acuña. I was floored by that strikeout. Floored. He has been excellent since he's come back from the injury. Excellent. And that was a huge win for the Yankees, a huge win for the Mets, a positive Sunday, despite all the other nonsense that's gone on. And now the Yankees tonight have a huge game. Huge game. And a huge series, starting with Carlos Rodon against the Toronto Blue Jays. We also got to talk about Anthony Volpe and how much we all despise him. And yet, instead of slapping the ball the other way, he hits 2 enormous home runs on Saturday. That was huge for him. And let's get to Mark in California because he wants to talk about Volpe. As we start your phone calls here on this week, starting on a Monday morning. Already back the weekend. And I'm forgetting his name. Thankfully, I should forget his name. But if anyone's listening, the one thing about the Saturday is that Eddie and Rockland, of course, losing my mind. If Eddie and Rockland's listening, the one thing about the Saturday is the weekend goes. I feel like, boom, I'm right back at work. It's already Monday morning. 888-808-1019. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on? Yeah, hopefully you didn't lay into that segment of, like, you know, we all hate Anthony Volpe because I was going to talk about Anthony Volpe, but.
I saw you wanted to talk about him, so I made sure I mentioned him right before we got into it.
Yeah, I mean, the hypothetical is that, listen, I mean, the home runs were big, but I need, you know, consistent defense from him. I need not even just homers, but just, like, getting a couple singles, making hustle plays. That's what I need, you know, because, I mean, I'm getting tired of seeing Boone defend him, which, guess what? Boone should be defending him. He's a player's guy. But the thing is like, you know, if you're sucking, you need to take a day off. You need to, like, kind of just, like, rest him and get your head, put him back down in the lineup, whatever. I'm more concerned with Stanton. I mean, the other day, Stanton didn't play, and he hit a 2-run pinch-hit home run. I was like, what? And then the day before, he brought him in, and he hit a double on a pinch hit. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And guess what? I mean, if the Yanks can trade him, I mean, I would take it. Would you get out of that contract?
What in the world are you talking about? You want to trade Giancarlo Stanton?
I mean, listen. I mean, what other realistic trade candidates are on the Yankees?
Why are we trading anyone? Why aren't we trying to acquire people? Why are we trading away a guy who's been their best postseason player and is on an absolute tear right now? Why are we trading him away? Do you want to win?
True, but if there's value there, like Stroman, if Stroman continues to pitch well, I doubt the Yankees will want to carry him into October.
No, I mean, Stroman's completely different. Stroman is completely different. Yes. Stroman's not the Giancarlo Stanton. Did you watch the postseason last year?
No, listen, he's phenomenal in the playoffs, but the problem is that his contract, I fully believe, listen, what they traded for Stanton, will obviously, we make that move in a giant heartbeat. Yeah. Starlin Castro, like, it's a giant heartbeat. The problem is if you look at the Yankees roster construction, it right. stems from the lack that they traded for Giancarlo Stanton. And that's the reason
We can't go back to 2018. His contract goes down to $19 million next year, and I'm trying to win the World Series, and he's their best postseason player. And he's on a freaking tear right now. One, he has a no-trade clause, and two, I don't think anyone's trading for him, and I think the Yankees would be out of their minds to trade Giancarlo Stanton right now. Out of their minds.
If the Marlins were to dangle like Sandy Alcantara out there.
Why? Stop this. What are you talking about? Thank you for the call. And I got, you know, accused of being disrespectful to callers yesterday, so I'm not going to try to be disrespectful to you. But that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's the first call of the night? I understand your Anthony Volpe point. Yeah, we'd all like him to be the singles hitter A-Rod proclaimed he should be. He's not that guy. He should be better defensively. If he's better defensively, and he can drive the baseball a little bit, then that's the kind of shortstop he is, and I'll live with it. That's who he is. Those two home runs were impactful. He could drive the baseball. Anthony Volpe, when he pulls the ball in the air, has really good numbers. He's got to be better defensively, 100%. He's got to be the gold glove caliber player he was the first 2 years. That's what he has to be, if not better than that. But you want to trade Giancarlo Stanton as they're about to make a playoff push and the guy's hitting peas all over the place? You want to use that as an opportunity to move him? I'm sorry. Did I miss where the Yankees are the Minnesota Twins? Did I miss where the Yankees are the Cincinnati Reds or the Milwaukee Brewers? You want to move the best postseason hitter, arguably in all of baseball consistently since 2020, and certainly the best postseason hitter for the New York Yankees since 2020. You want to move him because of roster construction? Now. No, I'd like to help him. I'd like to have him help us get to the World Series and win it. That's what I'd like. Again, his number goes down to $19 million next year. I know he can't run. He did score from second on a base hit, though. That was surprising. I know he can't run. How in the world could you possibly watch these games that he's hit, you know, what, five home runs in his last nine games? He's hitting the ball all over the ballpark yesterday. You want to trade him? After watching him carry us to the World Series last year, you want to move him? You can't go back to 2018 and undo it and talk about the failings of the previous Yankees and because of the roster flexibility of Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. There's a discussion to be had there about what the impact of him has had on signing other big-time free agents and roster construction. Sure, I mean, there's a discussion to be had, but you want to move Giancarlo Stanton now? And the idea that he's different than Marcus Stroman, you don't see that? You don't see how if the Yankees acquire starting pitching, get Luis Gil back, and somehow could move Stroman, get his money off the books and help them add more money to the trade deadline? And again, no one's trading for Stanton, so this is absurd. You think other people want to bring on that money in that contract, watching him not be able to move around the bases? What value do you think he has because he's hit the ball hard the last 15 games? And then you want to trade him. One, he's got a no-trade clause, so he's got to waive it. Two, you want to send him to a contender, because otherwise, why are you trading for him? You want to send him to a contender and watch him hit home runs for them in the postseason? So that the roster construction could be different next year? I'm not happy with how Monday started. I gotta be honest. Not too happy. Got a big game against Toronto. I got a big game against Toronto. I'd really like to see him go and smash in Toronto, not be traded.
You better hope that a team doesn't call up and offer you a stupid trade for Stanton, giving you too much, because Stanton's going to say no.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm not trading Stanton under no circumstances. I don't know what a team would have to give me. If, you know, if Kansas City wants to call and offer me Bobby Witt Jr., yeah, I'll listen. Like, I've already wasted too much time on it. But the Anthony Volpe discussion here, he hits those two big home runs. And this is what I said about, because the Alex Rodriguez comments that went around that he made to Michael Kay. In a perfect world, would I like Anthony Volpe to be a 280, 290 hitter, slap the ball all over the field, steal 50 bases? I mean, this is what Alex Rodriguez said. Hit 280, slap the ball all over the place, steal 40 to 50 bases, and play gold glove defense? And never strike out? Yes. In a perfect world, that's the player I want. And that would probably suit and fit the Yankees best and would be a great addition to the team. The problem is Anthony Volpe is not that player. He didn't project to be that player in the minor leagues, not on that level. And if you look at his numbers, he has tried this. Last year, he tried this. He stopped swinging as hard. He played to contact. He was just as bad, if not worse. His best numbers are when he pulls the ball hard in the air. That's it. That's where he's at his best. And if he was capable of doing it, if you want to just transform him into Rod Carew, that sounds great. Sounds great. I don't know if he's capable of it. And the idea that he's going to do that mid-season is like, it's just, you got to hope Anthony Volpe can do what he did. He drove the baseball a bunch. In the first night, he hit a bullet out to left center that Harris ran down on a catch that had a 20% probability. Should have been a double. He hits a long sacrifice fly to the wall as well as the two home runs. He got a base hit in this game. Like, Volpe had a good series, a great series. Let's hope this progresses, because he needs to be better, no doubt. But he also needs to be him. And right now, they're not going to change him into a slap hitter, put it all over the place, stealing 40 bases, like, and hitting 280. It's not going to happen. And as much as, yeah, that might be the best, if Anthony Volpe is the player he was at the start of the season, for the first 60 games, Anthony Volpe was a 250 hitter, a 760 OPS guy who was on pace for 20 to 25 home runs and 90 RBIs. If that is the offensive player that he can consistently be, 250, 760, 20 home runs, 85 to 90 RBIs from the shortstop position, and again, the defense has to be good. If that's the player Anthony Volpe can be consistently, where do I sign? Where do I sign? Because I'm in. The problem is, that's the kind of player he is at his best. That's it. That's who he is. At his best, that's his best. That's what we've seen so far in his major league career. The first 60 games of this series season were his best. Outside of the postseason. Give me that guy. He's got to be that guy more consistently. I can't change him into something I don't think he is. On the fly, no less. Bill in Pittsburgh. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Chris. Good to talk with you. A couple of thoughts. I want to talk about Volpe real quickly. And I've got a little experience with this, so I'm not exactly just an armchair baseball coach. But this weekend was a great example of him keeping his hands inside the baseball. You know, he gets a habit of what they call casting.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, on an outside pitch, on a two-seamer from a lefty or a cutter from a righty, he tends to kind of wave at the ball and ends up with a three-hopper to the shortstop. And he doesn't keep his hands inside the baseball, which keeps his bat longer in the swing path, which enables him to keep the bat connected to his body. When he hit those home runs, when he hit that home run in the World Series last year, that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just kind of flailing at the ball, and it's almost like he's playing tennis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with those three hitting coaches, they need to keep them. Yeah, you look at the really good hitters now, and they're not making contact even with the plate. They're making contact out in front of the plate, but their hands are tight. It's almost like hitting inside out. So that's really his problem. When you look when he's successful, that's how he's swinging. When he's not, that's how he's not swinging. So hopefully he can get that squared away, because I just think it's a swing. I think that's his problem. Second point I want to make is I have no idea why that third base coach the other night on that fly ball to right field against Atlanta was all the way down about two-thirds down the line when tagged up. He was not in position to tell him to slide. When you're running from second to third, you're looking at a straight line to the bag, to the third baseman, and your coach should be there on one knee putting you down. This third base coach was running back to third base, just kind of waving his arm. So I think a ton of that play has to go on the third base coach.
Yeah, well,
if
I mean,
you look at it.
I understand what you're saying. You don't have to tell me where to look from it, because I do agree with you. Like, I don't think there's.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong at all. I think, you know, that ball, you also got to see where that ball was hit and how, if you watch how Acuna was like playing it, I think there was a chance that ball could be off the wall. Like, he wanted to be in a position to send him if that ball drops. Because ultimately, I understand that, but I'm just saying he wants to be able to be in a position to send him if the ball drops. And it's so far away that as long as he runs hard, you might not even have to tell him to slide. But also, Vivas admitted he saw him. Like, I understand your point. Like, he said the third baseman blocked him a little bit, but Vivas did admit he saw him. Like, you just have to run and do the whole playthrough. You have to. And was he in perfect position? No, he wasn't in perfect position. I agree with you. You'd rather be lined up directly with the baseball and have a perfect view. He did tell him to get down. And Vivas broke it down way too early with the assumption the ball was going to be thrown to second base, which under normal circumstances is the smarter play, is the better baseball play. Yankee fans would be yelling if Judge tried to throw the ball all the way up in the air, all the way to third base. Because it gives the opportunity from the guy on first to tag up and get the second as well. Which the Yankees did not do, by the way, if you watch. He didn't even attempt to go to second base. And I wish he would have. I wish he would have been safe so I could have... I'm glad he didn't. Because I never want to open up first base with Judge coming up. And that was the other part of the Vivas play. Judge is coming up! You cannot make outs on the base paths with Judge coming up. That's why I don't get so hung up on speed at the top of the order, because you're not stealing bases or taking chances with Judge coming up. It's not worth it. Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing tonight, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Chris, if the Yankees want to win the division, they're going to have to beat the Eastern Division teams, and you're the one who pointed out that basically the Yankees' record against the AL East stinks, basically. I mean, it's not good.
I pointed it out, but it's obvious. They're 10-16. They have not been good. They've gotten their ass kicked by the Red Sox and Toronto as of late.
Yeah. And I just wanted to know your feelings about why. Do you think that's a reflection on Boone, that these teams that play the Yankees a lot seem to know they don't fear the Yankees. It's like they know they can beat the Yankees. Do you think that's a reflection on Boone? And what do you think, like, what would you do to improve that situation?
Do I think it's a reflection on Boone? I guess on some level, everything's a reflection on Boone, right? I mean, I don't put too much into that. If you've heard me, you know, I don't think, like, Jazz wasn't on second base on that play in the outfield, and we'll yell about it. Okay. If Jazz is a natural second baseman, right? Oh, move Jazz to second base, his natural position. Do you think if there was a different manager on the bench, Jazz would be on the bag? Do you think if he was still with the Marlins, Jazz would be on the bag, but it's because Boone's his manager that he says, oh, it's okay, I'll just stand out here and see what's up? Like, that's what I just push back on it, because I don't see how Aaron Boone is the reason that Jazz isn't on second base. I don't think Boone is the reason Vivas doesn't run hard to third base. I really don't. I really don't. So, but is it an? I think it's an indictment. I think it's an indictment on the team. The teams that know them best accentuate some of their ills because they see them the most. They play them hard. And the Yankees haven't been at times. There have been times. 2019, they kicked the crap out of the division. 2022, I think they had a good record against the division. Last year in particular was, I think 22 was, but most of the time they haven't had a great record against the Red Sox. They've played well against the Blue Jays. They've had tough times against Tampa Bay at times. But yeah, I mean it's definitely part of it. They last year the 8 stolen bases from the Red Sox. You know they know to run on them. The scouting reports are more in depth because you play them a lot. And the other teams have done a really good job in this division of exploiting different weaknesses than the New York Yankees. Now, I don't think that necessarily happened in the 4-game Toronto series. I think they just kicked the crap out of them. I don't think they really exploited anything. You know, they ran a lot. They did run a lot. And their catchers aren't good. In today's baseball, not many are. Torrens is really good with the Mets. There's a couple throughout baseball. But for the most part, if you're really aggressive on the base paths, you're probably going to be better off more than not in Major League Baseball today. But Springer and company just pounded the baseball. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't put it all on Boone, but everything's a reflection of him, sure. But my point is, sometimes when I get in trouble with Yankee fans defending Boone, we want to put all the negative, going to the World Series, no reflection on Boone. No reflection on Boone. Going through the American League playoffs with an 8-2 record in 10 games, no reflection on Boone. Any of the issues, reflection on Boone. 888-808-1009, quick break. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Got a lot to do. Alvarez being called back up by the Mets. Why didn't either of these two teams sign David Robertson to a $6 million contract? And who the Yankees should absolutely not trade for at the deadline.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.